Let's talk about mansions a little bit. We've all heard the old cliche from the beginning. God has built me a mansion in heaven right on Main Street. I can see it now with the flowers and everything is there waiting. What was he really talking about? Well, we know that I want you to learn two Greek words today. M-O-N-E, pronounced not as we would say in English, money, or money, but mane, all right? Mane in the Greek. That's what that word mansion is in the Greek, and it means to stay. It means to abide. It means a resting place. Now, it comes from a prime, and I want you to learn that word too in the Greek. It's very important. There's really, I'll give you a little clue. There is no way you can truly understand the Godhead if you don't know these two words. And as John taught them. The other is M-E-N-O. And it pretty well pronounces as it is spelled. Meno. It's the prime root from which that word comes, which it means, it can even mean in relationship, to stay. To abide, or to dwell, to be in. That is the prime root of mane, which is to dwell, abide, or to rest in. Okay, our Father has had a plan from the beginning. It has not been altered. It has not been changed. That's what makes it so comfortable to be a Christian. As long as you understand the word, you can count on it. The world may change. People may change. But there's nothing new under the sun as far as our Father's plan is concerned. Okay, we're going to begin by turning to Ezekiel chapter 37. I'll lay just a little bit of groundwork. You all remember that great 37th chapter. That's where God said, Ezekiel, look at those dead bones out there. And really what he was doing was looking at the people and saying, look at that bunch of deadheads out there. They don't know, come sick them, Ezekiel. They have no spiritual idea whatsoever of what's going on. You preach to them and prophesy to them and see if you can get a little life pumped into them. Now, basically, that's the chapter. And Ezekiel began to preach the true word of God, given directly by the four spirits, that's to say the four winds that would bring about the end of the earth. And he closed that 37th chapter with a covenant. And that covenant to this day is very, very important to the Christian. Let's pick it up with the 25th verse, which reads, "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant." Ezekiel 37, verse 25. "And they shall dwell therein." Interesting word, dwell. "And they shall dwell therein, and even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." Do you want to know who the prince of the people is? Better think about David, pretty strong. Naturally, the Lord Jesus Christ. But during the millennium, you're going to get very well acquainted with the prince of our people, David. "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them." You know what a covenant is? That's a marriage, a contract, so forth. It's an agreement that God makes with you. "And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary." You know what a sanctuary is? It's a dwelling place. It's a house. You might even call it a mansion if you want to. "I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore." Where is God going to dwell? In the midst of His people forevermore. Do you think He does today? Well, it's according to what level you think in spiritually. How well you are informed as to where you believe God's sanctuary is. "My tabernacle also shall be with them." You know what a tabernacle is? It's important. It's its dwelling place also. My home, you might call it, will be with them. Also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so it is. He wants to be your Father, and He wants to be your God, and He wants you to be His people. Why? You are. You're His children. There's not a living, pumping heart or soul that walks this earth today that God, our Father and Creator, is not the Father of. Regardless of race, color, or creed, He has different covenants with different people. But ultimately, it all comes under one head, and that is to say, through Christ. And do you know why God created people? It's very simple. He created them for His pleasure. Your documentation on that, the last verse of Revelation chapter 4. God created all things for His pleasure. And I got news for you. People that don't give God any pleasure, there's a day coming pretty soon when they're not going to be amongst us anymore. They're just not going to be around. Let them blaspheme God all they want to. Let them knock down Christianity. Let them do whatever they so choose. They better enjoy it while they're at it. They're not going to be around much longer. They're living high in the world. There's just one problem. This world age is not our home and not our eternal home. But we're still at home wherever we are, for He is in our midst. That's His contract to you, that you're never alone. And through the new covenant, that is to say through Christ, we see a maturing and a maturity within these scriptures. God desires, wants, it is His pleasure to dwell with His children. Is there anything unnatural about that? There are very few parents that don't like to dwell with their children, you know, if it's at a little distance, okay? I jest. You can smile if you want to, all right? There is no parent that doesn't enjoy being around their children if they're living in the way of God. It's just natural. That's just the way it is. And though some people would like to think that God is some, I'll even say, evil force, because He is the one with the pitchfork that is floating around out here in space ready to stick you. All right? No. We're made in His image. He looks like we do. He talks like we do, only He is supernatural. He is our Father. He is the Creator of all things. He hurts like we do emotionally when His children upset Him. So, the point, God wishes, desires, longs to live with His children. And then, verse 28, "And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Where is He wish to live, and where is He going to live? In the midst of them forevermore. Now, let's go to St. John chapter 14. Going to be kind of a short lecture today. And then some people say, I never deliver a short lecture. So be that as it may, we'll try it on for size. You're all familiar with this, and I would say there's probably half of the people in this room that could quote a great deal of this chapter by heart, by memory. But be that as it may, I want you to remember the two Greek words that we discussed. Okay? Meno and mane. The first word you will come across is mansions, which is mane. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 14 reads, "Let not your heart be troubled." You know what that means? It says, hey, don't worry. That's your Father speaking through the Son saying, hey, don't worry. ye believe in God, believe also in me. That is to say, the Son is the Savior. Verse 2, in my Father's house, what are we addressing? The Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if this wasn't a true thing, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I want you to think in this respect, the Greek is going from below to above. In other words, Christ is in the flesh, the same as you're in the flesh, and we're addressing going from below upward, right? Below upward to a resting place. Now, it is natural, and it is the common teaching of Christ and the apostles, that when one dies, the spirit, which is the intellect of the soul and the soul, go instantly to the Father that gave it. You go to one of those places to abide. The parable in Luke chapter 16 gives you a very accurate description of what it's like there in a spiritual sense. That's to say, between Lazarus and the rich man. That there is a wonderful place there. As a matter of fact, Abraham could be even seen embracing the Savior. Could see Abraham embracing one of his children. Abraham in the Hebrew tongue meaning the father of all peoples, all right, nations, through his covenant. But there was a gulf across this place. By that I mean a dividing line, a fence, a wall. And many of the people that arrived there went to this side of the wall and some to that. Yeah, there's nobody out here in a hole in the ground. And Christ did provide those mansions. What did Christ do? Now stay with me. This is simple, but I want you to stay alert or you're going to miss something. What did Christ do in the tomb? What did He do as soon as He was crucified? It's written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He went to those that had not overcome, and I guarantee you there was a bunch of them because they didn't have repentance in the way we do today or until the time Christ paid the price for repentance on the cross. It states in that third chapter of 1 Peter that He gave all those, all the way back to the time of Noah, and I'll even say Adam, an opportunity, the same opportunity that you have today, to either accept Christ or refuse Him. In other words, He prepared a place for them. And I know, after they had tasted life in the flesh and also death in the flesh and life in the spiritual body, I feel most of them made it. I could even go a little further and say I think the third that come most being perfected were that third in this earth age. And that I think most of them heard His voice and accepted Him. It goes on in chapter 4 of that 1 Peter. He went to the prisoners and freed them, many of them. Those that were prisoners to what? Help prisoners in sin. They had fallen short. Maybe some of them aren't perfect like some of you are today. They had sinned. You know and I know we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. And thanks be to God we have that repentance. That gives us a clean start. So, we see Christ going to the above spiritual plane to prepare a place, I can even add safely, for all those back to the time of Adam to dwell in forevermore with the Lord. All right? Think from below to above. And that's why we say, won't it be wonderful in that day that we're all able to go there and there's that beautiful mansion. And I'm not knocking it. I know that paradise is beautiful. It is a beautiful space and place. But there's something today also, don't rob yourself by looking too far into the future and stumbling right over the best thing Christ could have ever done for you without ever seeing it. All right? That's why I'm teaching this lecture today. Don't want you to overlook the goodies He has for you today. All right, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What does that mean? I will come again. That means the second advent, for one thing, but it means something else too. We'll discuss it a little later. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Interesting statement. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Why? You can find that way in His Word if you'll carefully understand the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Now, you can rum-drum it away like a lot of people do by putting traditions of men within it and making God's Word complicated, where it's very difficult for anyone to understand, because in many cases, he that teaches doesn't understand either. And a teacher that doesn't understand the Word of God has a great handicap as a teacher, because he doesn't know anything in relationship to the simplicity of the way. Do you know the way? He said, hey, you can come and join me. You can be with me and I can be with you. I will, not maybe, I will come again. Poor old Thomas. Verse 4, 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He's walked with him. He's talked with him. And it's so hard to get out of the flesh and understand the spirituality of things when Christ is speaking in the Spirit, if you're actually walking right with Him. In other words, I'm sure there was many a time, don't feel too bad, because all of you at one time, I wish I could understand the Word of God a little better. I wish I knew for sure. Well, old Thomas had walked with him every day, and I'm sure there was a few times that he may have lagged behind and the rest of the group took a Y this way and he got up there and maybe he wondered, well, which way did they go? So it's pretty hard to get out of the flesh. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Thomas just wasn't with the program, all right? He was wondering which cow path they took for sure, or were going to take, and he might get lost, all right? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What are the opposites of those? Have you ever thought about that? I am the way. What's the opposite of the way? Well, to be lost. To be confused. What's the opposite of the truth? A lie. A falsehood. And the life? It's death. It's death. And I might add, eternal death. Verse 7. If ye had known me. Now there's a lot of ifs in this. And these are conditions. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Bear in mind, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. This is why I said this is very informative as far as the Godhead is concerned. We have only one God. We have only one Father. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, I'm sure this hurt Jesus to a degree. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? I mean, he had raised Lazarus from the dead. He had fed 5,000 families with bread. Would you recognize the Father's works if you had seen them? I think so. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. What does that say to you? They're one. All right? But different offices. That isn't difficult. Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father? Do you believe that, beloved? Do you believe that Christ is in? I said in the Father. And the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, that does what? Dwells in. It's His word. He doeth the works. It's His supernatural ability that creates the work. So we see the Sonship, and we see the Father, and when you've seen one, you've seen the other. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. In other words, believe me because Lazarus came back to life 4 days after death. He was stinking. In the tomb, he stinketh. Meaning he was deader than a hammer in the flesh. I gave him life, or the Father gave him life through me. Believe that? He said, if you can't believe that I am, look at the miracles. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Why would some person be able to do greater works than that? He just told you. Because he's going to the Father. And who is it that actually does the works? The Father. He's going there as your advocate, as your lawyer, as your spokesman, as your helper. Why couldn't? You know, many people say, well, how could that be? Well, look around you in this building you're in right now. I'm speaking to you in this congregation, but not too many feet from where I sit, there is a tape message of some Bible teaching. I know not which one is on right now, and it's going out to millions. And not only is it going out to millions, it's covering a third of this earth's surface in video and around the world in shortwave. Now, if I were to have, when I was first born, well, if I had made a statement like that in the year in which I was born, that would have been a miracle too, because babies don't do things like that, all right? But at that time, people would not have had a hard time dealing with that. We hardly had the radio, the little crystal set. You know, we'd build those little rascals and listen and this, that, and the other. And to think you could do that live. What I'm saying is not that what we have done, because we haven't done it. I know that all of you put into it, and I put into it, still him that does the work. Why? When you hook up to his team, he'll pull your wagon, honey. All right? When you hook on to his team, he'll pull your wagon. It's just that so many people have such a very hard time hooking on to his team because they want to be the team. All right? They've just got to show you what a hoss they are. You know, I'll do the pulling. Well, fall on your face. You know, that's the way it works, friends. God does the work. And you either believe it or you don't. If you want His help, you will believe it. And if you don't believe it, don't try to waste His time, because He knows whether you believe it or not. You don't con God, all right? You can do whatever He wants you to. I mean, great, 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 great works. And I've got news for you, beloved. We're coming into that age. And that's why we must strive to familiarize ourselves with the nearness and relationship with the Godhead, with our Father. because we're coming into that time when, as Christ said, the Father spoke through Him. He's going to speak through some of you. And a great message is going to go forth. Some of you have known since you were a child that you had a destiny and a purpose, and there was more to God's Word than you had been taught. I'm telling you this. We're coming into that time. Do you believe? You must believe these things. For there is only one miracle maker, and that is our Father. And if you're a part of Him, you're in the miracle business, my friend. Like I said, it's easy to doubt. You don't have to walk too far from here to see a man teaching this way and that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Broadcasting at the same time we're fellowshipping. And fellowshipping the same time we're broadcasting. You know? That's a miracle, actually. It's especially a miracle when you figure a little old church in Northwest Arkansas, he has given those works. It's certainly and indeed a privilege that God sees fit to choose whom He will. And He'll choose whoever will allow Him because He loves all His children. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, when you ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that is the credentials to what? That you believe on Christ, or you wouldn't be asking in His name. He is your advocate sitting there at the right hand of God. You got to go through Him because He is what? The way. If you don't know He's the way, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get there. You've got to ask it in the name of Jesus, because that lets our Father know that you believe, you are a believer. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. What? In serving the Father. That's what He's talking about. So many people think so small. Oh, hot ziggity. Man, oh man, I wanted a new house next week. I'm going to ask it. For what? There are a lot of times kinds of houses. If it's a house to do God's work, maybe so. But if it's a house for some other use, I wouldn't count on it. He's talking about works of our Father, all right? 15. If, there's that little word again. Oh boy, that's a lot of times that little if is used in this chapter. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. 16. Listen carefully. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide. If you want to make a little note, that word abide is meno, that little Greek word I wanted you to learn. Meno, the prime root of mansion. Meno, He will abide with you forever. Well, now, wait a minute, let me think about this a minute. I've got a mansion up there, going from here to there, but now we're kind of leaning like we're coming from there to here. And not only that, He's coming. He's going to come and mansion with Me. Oh, man, what a thought. Oh, let's see what else it says here. 17. Even the Spirit of Truth. There's only one Spirit of Truth. You know what it is? The Holy Spirit. Whom the world cannot receive. They can't see it. They can't feel it. They can't taste it. They don't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth. Do you want to make a guess at what that word dwelleth is in the Greek? You've got it. Prime root. Meno. For He mansioneth with you. For He mansioneth with you and shall be in you. Whew. about that a minute. I was supposed to have a mansion there. Is he beginning to tell me that I may already have one here? Woo! Boy! Now, that could get interesting, couldn't it? Well, I think it does. I think it is. All right. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did he not say, I'll return again? When? With a mansion? Yeah. I'm still waiting for that mansion. Tough luck, sucker. If you're still waiting, you're overlooking the goodie package. 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. No, the world can't see him. You know why? They don't believe. And they don't have a mansion either. They don't have a minnow, that is to say, God dwelling. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We all live in the same house. We all live in the same mansion. You're going to know it. How long was it? What did he say to the disciples when he was crucified and 40 days later? He said, wait, stay here in Jerusalem until you receive that I will send. It was 10 days. Because it was on the 50th day, which in the Greek tongue means Pentecost, that Holy Comforter came. You know something? He's been with some ever since, just living there and that covenant of peace all over the house, all over that person. Verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. 21. He that hath my commandments, this qualification, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I will give him or her eyes to see me, to feel me, to hear me. Do you hear him from the words? Do the words of God jump alive off the very page and speak to your heart and mind? Then he's making himself known to you. 22. Now I don't want to say right away, boy, you read a verse like that. Know the commandments and keep them. Ooh, that leaves me out. Oh, ooh, that leaves... Well, now don't be silly. It would leave all of us out. Because we all fall short. But when you repent, you are a part of that. He stamps you perfect. And that's why it's important that you scold yourself into repentance and repent and be in good standing. Hey, do you know what an empty house looks like? You know, I mean, it can be home, and boy, you move every stick out of it and everything and walk in there, and it just kind of look like somebody moved out. Well, hey, don't think he won't move out of your little old house like that. But that's why you repent, so that he feels at home. All right? None of us are perfect. We all mess up. But on repentance, I don't care if it takes, he said, 490 times a day. I know there's none of you in here that bad. All right? Not even that bad. Oh, 150 maybe, but 490? Whew. All right? Now, he loves you. And he loves for you to talk to him. He likes to hear you say, I messed up again, Lord. Help me. And he's at home, right in your heart and mind. All right? But here comes little old Judas here, not Iscariot. Judas said, 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to let us see you and the world not be able to, Lord? Little old human beings. I mean, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Verse 23. This is why we came here. Think. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, who's we? Father and the Son. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Anybody want to take a guess at what that word abode means in the Greek? You got it. It's not the prime root. It's not meno. It's mane, the very same Greek word that's used for mansion in verse 2, and it is the very same mansion. Not going from up, from down rather to up, but coming from up to down, coming from heaven to earth. My Father and I will both come and mansion with you if you will believe. So, when you say, I'm going to have a mansion someday, do you know that hurts His feelings? Do you know why that hurts God's feelings? Because you could have it today. He will come to you and dwell with you. And there's many in this room that know what a wonderful feeling that is. For it is the presence of all three. For where the Father and the Son are, so dwells the Comforter, which is to say the Holy Spirit. And quite frankly, there are many who would disagree with me, but I must tell you, they are all three one. And if you believe, they want to live in and with you today. That's why the miracles can be performed, if you believe. Now, many people would like to say, oh, hot diggity. If I've got that mansion today, I'm going to put them to work for me right away. And I think about what I said. There's a lot of people that would say, ooh, hot ziggity. If they're living with me today, I know what all he can do. I'm going to put them to work for me today. Get behind me, Satan. You would stand in the way of God? Who are you? You that would put God to work for you? Who are you? It works the other way around, my friends. You work for Him because you're a little piece of clay and He's the potter. You know something? If you really love Him, that's the only thing you want to do anyway, is to serve Him and let Him use you to help a poor, hungry, starving world in famine for hearing the Word of God. There are people that are hurting more spiritually, that have open running sores spiritually in this world today because they don't have the truth. Spiritually, they all need to be bandaged. And all some people can think about is themselves. If you think too much about yourself, God will never use you for anything. You should think about yourself. You're important. You're a child of God, and you've got to take good care of yourself. But let your compassion be not on yourself, but on others, and God will take care of you. I promise you that. He has promised you that. He has made a covenant. No, you don't have to wait for that mansion. It's here.
It's in you.
What was the covenant?
Peace.
Now, you can lose that peace by allowing someone to draw you out of it. It can happen in your own family. Somebody can draw you out of that mansion, that peace. But don't you let it happen. The covenant was made with you as an individual. And it will rub off on those around you if you remain firm.
And you must. He will dwell with you.
We will dwell with you, he said. The Father and the Son. That's a heavy thought, my friend. And again, not manu, or min-o rather, but
mane, mansion, be at home, resting place, with you.
You can have that rest this day. In other words, the word in the Greek used in verse 23 is a duplicate or identical to the word used in verse 2. And do you know something? That's the only two places it's used in the Word of God. Let's just read on a little further. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring, listen to me, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Do you believe that Christ said things to you from even before, and they are called to your remembrance? Have you ever thought, wow, it seems like I already knew that. Oh, that makes so much sense. That makes common sense. It was already there. It was just called to your remembrance. Let me jog your memory a little bit. You see, it isn't only in St. John 14. In the book of Isaiah, it said, a virgin shall conceive. What was it? Isaiah 7, maybe? A virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and you shall call him what? Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? God with you. God in you. God mansioning in you. You see, what I'm saying is certainly not a new thing. To go from earth to the upper, but the final is to come from upward downward to you, to receive today. Even in the name Emmanuel, God with you. That's what he wants. To mansion with you. 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's what he started out with. Don't worry. If you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living with you, what have you got to worry about? We've got the victory. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And then we're both coming back. Not 2,000 years from now, but today. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. When I am crucified, and you see the evidence of that cloven one on Pentecost Day, you'll know I told you beforehand. However, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Satan has nothing in you if you believe. If you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in you, how can Satan make headway? Is it no wonder that this earth would seem almost like an alien place to you when you turn a television on and it's so foreign and distant and they seem like their mind must be running in another vein? It is! Because they do not believe. There are many that practice Christianity, but there will be many that will follow the false Messiah. because they have not studied the Word. Final verse and in closing. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father give me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence. And I would say to you, let us go hence. Practice what you believe. Believe what you know. Believe the truth. Know the way. If you're in that way, God will bless you in all ways. And you will have a full cup. You will even have a cup that runneth over, and others will share among the brim, along the brim, wherever that cup goes, of God's blessings. Do you know what's the greatest gift in the world to give? Is to have a cup that runs over and your blessings bless everybody else. It can happen, dear one, when you believe. And God shall overflow your cup. When you take Him in. Do you understand what I've told you? He wants to give you your mansion today, and He wants to move in. And some people say, in this world, hey, wherever God is, that's where heaven is. It can be in your heart and your mind. Yes, even today. For those that believe. I hope that you're able to taste that and to experience it. For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know what abundant life? Do you know what abundant life is? That's a happy life. His covenant was, I give you peace. Do you have that peace? If not, think about it and pray about it. Yeah. Mano mine. What an interesting word. I crossed those. It's not the way it is. It's mane and mino. Mino being the prime root, and mane being mansion. He wants to live with you, if you will let Him. All right. Bless your hearts. Let's go to His throne. Father, we thank You for Your truth, for Your word. Be with us. We ask it in Yahshua's precious name. Amen.